The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome to Afternoons with Mike. It is a pleasure once again to have you along across the Shepherd Radio Network. That means all the way up into Gainesville, even the Lake City area, and all the way down to and through Orlando, westward over toward Tampa, and eastward to the coast of Daytona Beach. We would like to say welcome. Today's a very special day. We're going to spend most of our time this hour talking about the big event that happened on Saturday night, the Better Man event. It actually took place, a two-hour power-packed event that took place from the big auditorium of First Baptist Orlando and went out to close to 800 locations and in about 17 countries, and I think it was 37 states that this year's event. So not only was it a live event for those that were down at First Baptist, but it was a streaming event all across the globe. And so we're so thankful for it. We're going to be hearing a lot from the participants, the speakers, as well as the founder, Brian Buckley, will be on. And in just a moment, I'm going to be going via that night out into what was called the tailgating area and hearing from some of the participants that gathered from all over to First Baptist that night to see exactly what they were expecting and hoping would take place. And we're also going to hear again at the end of the program from Al Mohler, who will be giving us an update on something we'll be looking at a little bit more closely in tomorrow's show. And that is where we are as a country and the worldview implications from the recent election for a president. And that will be coming up at the end of the show. But first of all, let's take our traveling microphone, and we're going to be going out on the parking lot at First Baptist Orlando as we look and talk to people who are visiting the food trucks, all excited about this big event called the Better Man event.
You're next. Welcome to
America. My name is Juan. I'm from Edgewater.
Is this your first time at the Better Man event?
Yes, sir.
All right. What have you heard about this, and what do you expect from it tonight, Juan?
Well, I'm just expecting just a great experience, some fellowship, and a good word. Just having a good time all together.
They've got quite a lineup here tonight. Is there a favorite person that you're looking forward to hearing?
Mariano Rivera. I'm a huge Yankee fan, so.
All right.
Yeah, definitely looking forward for that.
If you were to say, what do you think the biggest, most important need men in our country have right now?
I think the need to provide, and definitely in this time that I feel like men are, there's much bigger pressure for us to provide for our families and this economy that we're having. And so I definitely think unity and acceptance in the workplace and being able to push forward through all this is definitely what we need.
Did you come to the event yourself, or do you have friends that you came with?
I came with my brothers over here, so,
all right.
Yeah.
All right. It's really great to kind of get together, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
One final question for you. What changes in your area have you seen that might be, like, ongoing things with regards to the COVID-19, the coronavirus?
Well, it seems like it's slowed down. There's a big revival in the church community there, and we've seen that in the way people are acting, the way people are accepting each other. They're not as scared to go into the stores, and it just feels like things are going back to normal.
That's great. Thank you, Juan. Have a great time tonight.
My name is Ken Sandin with Life Bridge Church. Tonight we have about 60 guys that are here.
Where's Life Bridge?
That's in Windermere. We were going to hold the event at our church, and it signed up to be a host, but some of our staff had got COVID, so we closed down the event at our place, but First Baptist Church was having it, so that's why we came here. So we've tailgated and we're getting ready to go inside. What we're expecting is really a praise time, a awareness time of Christ. Hopefully Jesus will be exalted to the point where some of the men will catch the light and then and possibly be transformed. But if nothing else, great fellowship and an opportunity for the guys to get together, a lot of unity. We're throwing cornhole bags over here, just having a good time. This COVID thing shut us down for a while, but getting together today is going to be a good time for a fellowship and just touching base.
With a lineup like tonight, Ken, what are your expectations? Who are you most excited to hear tonight?
Actually, I'd like to hear from Daryl Strawberry. You know, I've never met him, but that's a name that came up that I recognize. Been to Better Man. I think this is my fourth time. And so we've heard a number of speakers and stuff. Always good. Always good. It's a good entry. Good entry. I think the Lord is pleased with it, and it gives enough for the churches to work together and bring men in and disciple them, help them out.
You've already mentioned the fellowship that your group, 60 guys, that's pretty amazing to get that kind of amount of men to come out for an event like this.
And then, this all happened for us in the last 48 hours. So the event was planned at our church with Four Rivers Catering, and all that was switched to this location with the food trucks and really worked out well. So, you know, when there's a will, there's a way.
There's a way. Thank you so much for talking with me tonight. Hilton, where are you from?
From Orlando, Florida.
All right. So tell me, what about this year's Better Man event have you been most excited about?
Well, I've been here a couple times, and every year it's a great year. Great show, and, I mean, the speakers are always amazing. So I always look forward to hearing the speakers, the different perspectives, the different phases of life that these guys come from. You know, you can kind of relate to each one of them in a different way, so it's awesome to see that.
Do you have a favorite as to who you're anticipating hearing tonight?
I listen to Lecrae, so I love Lecrae. So I'm looking forward to hearing from him.
I walked in tonight right behind him, so he's already here.
I'm excited to see him. I hope he performs.
All right. Oh, he's going to, I'm sure.
This is probably my fifth or sixth year I've been here before.
That's great. Hey, man, thank you so much. What's your name?
Chad.
Chad, where are you from?
From Hope Sound, Florida.
All right, come to this event by yourself or with a group of people?
With my son.
Oh, that is so great. When you look over the lineup, what about tonight are you most excited about?
I'm just honestly excited to spend time with my son and really just refocus and get challenged.
2020 has been a very challenging year. What are your hopes going forward into the new year?
I think a call for the church to be the church and to live it. And I'm just looking forward to challenging myself and us as a church.
What do you think the single most important need for men this new season, this new a new presidency now?
I think the important thing for men is to live it, to live the Christian life. And whether we agree or disagree, that we live as Christians and show that up.
Here with Mark Wolf. Mark is one of the volunteers, one of the many volunteers. How many volunteers do you think is out here tonight, Mark?
I think there are like 35, 40 of us out here.
So what does the Better Man event mean to you?
Personally, it means a lot to me. I've been coming for about 5 years. I'm here local, attached very well through some of the original proprietors that started the organization. It's been a godsend to me to have sharpen iron, men together, mm-hmm. Seeing hundreds of men come to save and know the Lord, and at our events is just not uncommon at all.
So when you look over the lineup, you've got a lot of people that are coming from different backgrounds. Who are you most excited about hearing tonight?
I'm looking forward to hearing from Daryl Strawberry. I'm one of the older guys, so a lot of them when I was talking to them, like, who's that?
Yeah. Well, I'm the same. I'm really excited about that. He's kind of a long-term fixture in baseball, of course. And beyond that, what are your hopes for impact that the Better Man event could have?
Just like every year, bringing men to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and turn their lives to Christ and be Advents to Him and bring more people to Christ through their life.
I'm here with Bianca, another volunteer. Is this the first time for you as a lady serving at a men's event like this?
Yes, it's my first time.
So what are you most excited about tonight?
To see these men to be touched for God and to have a great experience tonight.
Oh, that's great. As you look over the lineup, is there a particular favorite that you're most anticipating hearing tonight?
I want to say Lecrae.
Of course. I walked in right after him tonight, so he's here in the building.
Yes, he is.
As a young lady serving at this organization, what are you hoping will happen as a result of tonight?
I hope that they can bring all of the knowledge they are going to have tonight to their families, their friends, the community. I think we need this to share to the neighbors, to our friends, our family, all the things they are going to learn today.
Hey, I just bumped into my old friend Mark Goldstein here. Mark, this is it. We've been anticipating this event. We've talked about it on the air, and the guys with BME have worked so hard, especially since it was delayed. And here we are now, November 7th. Mark, when you look back over this event today as you come in, what are you seeing? What are you feeling?
It's a lot of energy. You know, we've been waiting to do this for several months. But you know what? Satan meant for evil, God meant for good. In May, when we should have had this, there would have been maybe 9,000 guys. Now it's 9,000 by a multiplier of who knows how many. It's in 38 states and 17 countries, and it's just amazing. But like I said, I came in when they were doing the sound checks and everything, and I got goosebumps.
Oh, that's great.
Great.
You know, at the last word I heard, there were over 500. I don't know if the remote...
750 now.
750 locations.
And increasing. Even in this hour, there are still more people that are going on and saying, hey, I drug my feet. It's time to do it. I'm going to pay my money and get in.
So one more country than the other day. And you mentioned
38.
That's four more states, or three more states, yep, than what we had on Friday even. Right. So that, too, has grown. And the impact is going to be substantial.
Well, and especially because this is going to be available for 90 days, beginning the 14th of this month. Those who have registered get it, a replay, for 90 days, so they can continue showing it to friends, family, whatever.
I've been asking this question, Mark, of people tonight, outside and inside both. Who are you most excited to hear tonight?
Wow. Interestingly enough, Lecrae.
Ah, Mark, I wouldn't have seen you as a Lecrae fan.
Well, you know, it's just you can always go to church. You can hear a sermon. You know, you can do. But, you know, just knowing his story and just hearing him, it's just going to be a lot of energy. And I think we all need some energy. We need some good stuff.
Do you think that the results just being announced today and the presidential impact, is that going to have any impact at all on this evening?
You know, I don't think so. I think this stands by itself. I think, no, I don't.
Oh, it is always a joy to get to talk to that guy, Mark Goldstein. And many thanks for all those that talked to us out on the food trucks. With the wind whipping as it was fun to be out there and to just catch that level of excitement for the big event that was indeed the Better Man event. We'll be back in a moment. We're going to have lots more. An interview with Daryl Strawberry is just ahead, right here on Afternoons with Mike. Back again here on Afternoons with Mike as we are doing the recap from this past Saturday night's Better Man event. Now, it was held in the big auditorium of First Baptist Orlando, certainly the biggest group meeting that I've been a part of in this pandemic year, and it was so much fun to be out there. A lot of people were, most people were wearing masks in the auditorium and really being careful, but it was indeed a large event and very cool. The stage was just amazing, beautifully decorated, really a wonderful event. The guy who is behind the Better Man event, the guy who had the vision and God used to pull all of this together, is Brian Buckley, and I caught him just moments before the event happened. This is Brian Buckley, founder of the Better Man event. Can't believe I'm here with Brian Buckley. Brian, we just went through a wonderful time of prayer for this event. The thing that you've been working hard for, the thing that you've been praying about for months and months, delayed from May to November, and now a new way of doing Better Man event seems to be given to you. What are your thoughts right at this moment?
Pure excitement, Mike. Pure excitement on what is expected from God tonight. We are expecting so much in the 700 host sites that are throughout the world. There is going to be a movement in family rooms, in man caves, in churches, and in businesses, Mike. So it's how I feel is an expecting spirit of amazing things that God is going to do in the lives of men all throughout the world tonight. Mm.
What particular message do you think will emanate from this year's? Is obviously, you've got all of these different speakers, and they come from different backgrounds. Do you think one solidarity, one single message will emanate from tonight?
Yes, I do, bro. It is, we are better together. You know, the leadership team of Better Man came up with this about a year ago, way before COVID. We know as men, we are not good isolated. We are not good being in the boat by ourselves. We need to have other men in the boat with us as we move forward. So it's about being together. Guys have got to do life together and stop the isolation.
Ryan Buckley, thank you. We're praying for you. We know just in mere moments, this is all going to get cranking out there on that amazing stage. It looks phenomenal, my man.
I know. First Baptist Orlando has been a great venue for us to have tonight's Better Man event. It's where I go to church, Mike. This is my home church, so we're just so happy to have it here.
Wonderful. Thank you, Brian, for stopping by.
All right.
And before the event started, I had a chance to be backstage with a guy that is a baseball legend, longtime pitcher, and just a great guy all around, now serving as a pastor. I had a chance to talk to Daryl Strawberry. So here is that chat.
It's a great honor to talk with you. Been a fan of yours for many years. Love the grace of God in your life. And Daryl, you're here now at this big event. First of all, how long have you made Central Florida your home?
Well, Central Florida is not my home anymore. I was here for 5 years and I moved back to Missouri, the Midwest. And it's great to be back in the Midwest. It's always great to come back to Central Florida. So to be here, to be a part of this event is always special to me because these guys have done a wonderful job in the men's ministry. And it's important that we bring the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ so men can know that, you know, God meets them right where they at, and hopefully some will receive that. You know, we are in such a different time now, and you know, it's really critical, you know, for the gospel of Jesus Christ to go forward.
When you look at this event, and this event started off years ago, 14 years ago or so, something like that. When you look at that and you look at the growth of this event and then just passing by the stage while they go and seeing that, I mean, it really is wonderful to see how something for guys like the Better Man event has really exploded. And now hearing that they're in 17 countries, 500 plus locations for the streaming event to take place. What do you think can happen from tonight?
Well, you think what's important, the name of it, Better Man. That's it right there, to make you a better man. That's what the event is all about, is to equip you and allow you to walk out of here and be stronger and know no matter what's going on in your life that God still has a plan for you. Mm-hmm. God meets us right where we at. When you understand, when you equip men with the biblical principles and tell them about the Word of God, you know, then it allows them to find out who they are. And I think so many of them have been so afraid of, you know, what church has been all about and who we are. And it's not until we reach that place of being equipped. And I think that's what the Better Man event has done. It has allowed so many guys to come in and speak from different, every different walk of life, mm-hmm. to bring about stories of the goodness and of God's grace. And I think when we understand the grace of God is very sufficient and it's there for everybody, and to have an avenue like they have right now is really incredible because of staying in your own lane and doing what God's called you to do. And I think they've done that extremely well. And that's so important when you know that God has called you for something.
So your book, you have a new book coming out.
I do. January 12th, 2021, Turn Your Season Around with Zondervan. It's a phenomenal book. It's probably be the best book I've ever written. You know, and I've done some projects before, but this one is full of biblical principles. It's who would know that we would go through a pandemic, we would go through crisis in our country, and that we would be stopped and we would have to look, how do we turn our season around? Only God would know that he would write a book through me during that time, and that would be the title of the book. So it's how God transformed your life, how God meets you right where you're at, God, so many men or people thinking, well, I have to be ready and I have to be in a better place. No, God wants you right where you're at. He wants all your broken pieces so he can put them back together. So, yes, it's coming out. I'm excited about it. You can go to findingyourway.com, one word, findingyourway.com is our website. And I'm really excited about this project. I've been excited before about books, but I've never been excited more about this one, because this one is downloaded with so many scriptures, you know. And I think the problem with our society today is lack of knowledge of scriptures and people understanding God's word, and it's keeping people crippled. I think it's handicapping people and keeping them where they're just in church. But it's more. God wants you to go deeper. He's got something greater for you, so he can bring a great revelation to you.
You're using that metaphor of season, and it's obviously a tie-in to athletic sports. In your many seasons in playing baseball, it gave you this platform. And when you look back now, what do you see changed in that world today with the impact of COVID on all sports? All of them were truncated this year from the standpoint of the seasons. It's changed a lot. But what do you see going forward?
Well, I think the season has changed all of us. And if you don't wake up and see and think and know that God is real, now you better, you know, take a good look at yourself, because he's sitting on the throne and he knows everything. He can stop everything. So obviously he didn't want to stop the season we're in. Obviously he's trying to teach us something. What are we learning from this? I think through the period of the 6 months I had, it was a growing process of saturating myself even more and going deeper with God during the period of the pandemic. And I think a lot of people have a tendency of putting God on the shelf when things like this has happened. And this is a season where he's trying to get your attention. And I think we need to allow him to get your attention, to open your eyes to, you know, who you are, what's your purpose for being here, and realizing more than anything that this is not home. Too many of us got consumed with this being home and believing this is it, you know, the United States and this and that, and everybody's battling, you know, racial issues and this and that, hatred going all over the place. And there is no fear of God. I think our country has walked away from the fear of God. And God's going to show us, you know, through this time and time going forward that we need to get our hearts right. And we need to get ourselves right down here, because the day of a return is going to be real. And there's going to be a lot of people still stuck here and thinking, you know, like God was never coming back.
Powerful word, my man. Thank you for being with us. And we're excited to see you tonight in the Better Man event.
I'm looking forward to it. This is going to be a great event.
That was legendary baseball pitcher Daryl Strawberry. And he went on that night to not only speak and give an inspiring message, but he also did a wonderful interview with Yankee pitcher Mariano Rivera. And that was a treat, too, for all who was there that night to be able to hear that. Now, don't forget, you're going to be able to still see and download. You can become part and actually show the entire event, the Better Man event, to a group in your own home or maybe at your business for a couple of weeks yet. If you'd like to find out information on how you can bring what was Saturday night's Better Man event to an even future celebration, all you have to do is go to bettermanevent.com and get all the details on how you can still show and be a host for this event. Even though it's now in the past, it can be in that way in your future. Go to bettermanevent.com. Also, the MC for the evening was a fellow radio guy from right here in Orlando, Obi Diaz. Obi is with a radio station in the Orlando area, and he served as a marvelous host for the evening as MC. I had a chance to catch him in between some of the speakers. This is Obi Diaz.
With Obi Diaz at the Better Man event, and Obi, you're privileged to be the MC and kind of keeping things going. I've grabbed you just for a moment in between some of the activities up on stage. And man, what are your thoughts looking at all of the changes that 2020 has brought us this year with the delay and the pandemic? And yet here we are in November of 2020 and all these people gathering around the world. What are your thoughts right now?
Yeah, so my thoughts are, with 2020 being the way that it is, I mean, has God not kind of opened up a bunch of opportunities for us to get off our butts, make some connections, Especially today, you've got so much mental health, you know, just running rampant, you know, just with people who would have always thought of themselves as healthy. Now everyone's in that pocket of mental health. So to have a bunch of guys here that their intent, the reason why they put the gas in their car to make it here to this event today was for something. They wanted something to happen. So we're hoping that with our guests, we're hoping that with everybody here, and we're hoping that obviously with the Holy Spirit at work, that those guys that came, that those guys leave with something that's eternal.
What's your story, Hobie? What was it in your life? At what point did you say, hey, I want my life to count something for God?
Man, that's a great question. And that's a packed one because I grew up in the church. So my father was the music director. Mom was the secretary of the church. I was there 3 days a week. I played for the worship team as a teen. And so I left the church at 17, though. I got a job in radio and I thought I was big time. And so I left the church because one of the shows that I produced was on a Sunday morning. So I told my parents, I told the worship team that I had to step down because I was a real man who had a job. And here we are from 17 to 34, I was out of the church. And now from 34 to 39, I am so aware. It's so clear what God has me doing and the fact that he's been present throughout that whole past to get me here.
That's incredible. And to realize that a young man, and we all are on some sort of crazy journey, aren't we, at that age when young people think they know what they want. And isn't it amazing, though, how even at that young age, God brought something in your life that did turn out to be what you've hung your hat on, so to speak, yep, all these years. And you're still doing radio after all this time.
Yeah. And I'll tell you something. So even at this age of 39 and with God working clearly in my life, he's blowing my mind with showing me episodes where he's been there in the past, where, yeah, he's allowed me to get a job here. Yeah, he's allowed me to have this interview. Yeah, he's allowed this person to mentor me, to get me all the way to this point right now. I'm just so surprised. He's so good. He's so good.
You know, the unseen hand, as one person wrote a song about years ago, the unseen hand of God's providence has guided you. And he's guiding all these people. We both just heard Lecrae up on the stage, yeah, and talking about being restored and being brought back and how God is doing that. I tell you what, this is an exciting event, and it's going out to more people than ever before. I think close to 800 sites tuning, yeah, in tonight.
It's crazy.
It is nuts, and I know it's a wild time for you, and thank you for being a part of it. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us. They've already given me the signal. It's time for you to get back up on stage. So,
well, thank you for being here. Thank you for what you're doing, because the fact that you've taken this upon yourself to even come here today to get this footage behind the scenes, like, that says something. And there's somebody who's going to hear this, and because of you, you created this path. So thank you so much for your responsibility. I love that you gave me some love too. Like, that's God. That's a good guy that both of us can sit here, compliment each other, and leave with a high five.
That's cool. Obie Diaz, thank you so much, man.
So that was Obie Diaz. What an MC he was for the night for the Better Man event. Felt like I gained a new friend in him as well, a fellow radio guy that he is, and one who loves Jesus the way he does. So thankful for that. So coming up in our next segment, we're going to have interviews with a couple of the big participants, the big names that we were all excited to hear, and that would be Johnny W. He is a funny guy, a comedian from the Nashville area, and also the guy that brought the main word for the night, Pastor Sammy Rodriguez. Both of those are coming yet ahead. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. While we were not able to talk to Lecrae that night due to some concerns he had about social distancing and wanting to stay safe, we understood that completely, but we were able to talk to Johnny W., a comedian from Nashville, and also Pastor Sammy Rodriguez, and he was tremendous. What a word he brought that night. It was powerful. So first of all, let's spend a few moments now with Johnny W. Tell me a little bit about what led you into doing comedy, because it's such a cool venue that you have, a cool, I guess you could say, a way of addressing crowds that
pastors don't, well, maybe they try, but they're not as effective as often as what I'm seeing you do out there. How did that happen?
Yeah, I actually was on staff at a church for a while as a pastoral. I was a college pastor, and yeah, I don't know what it was. I used to be in bands, and then we hosted a college retreat. I was going to like get up and do a funny song or something with my buddy. He got sick, and I just was like, what am I going to do now? I'd never been on stage without him. So I decided I'd tell jokes. This was 2008, and I went out and told jokes to these college kids, and it went well for whatever reason. I just made fun of all their colleges, and because they were from all different colleges all over the state of Tennessee. And yeah, I don't know. If it hadn't gone well, I never would have tried it again, but I think it was kind of a God thing, you know. And so I started getting invited to those campuses, and started getting kind of, I say I got serious about being funny, you know. You kind of get, like, you start focusing on the craft a little bit, and I've always loved comedy. But yeah, getting trying to be good at it and learn how to be better at something. You got to be willing to be bad for a while. I think it's like anything else, including preaching, like you say. But yeah, it's been such a fun time, and what a cool gift to be able to share. And I love hearing laughter again. It's been a long, weird year, and so it's cool to hear like a group of guys laugh again. It's pretty cool.
You know, I joke as a pastor, former pastor myself, 36 years in full-time ministry, and I'm a musician as well. Oh, okay. I loved your Martin guitar that I saw nice. That you had up there. I play a Taylor, but both are great guitars. But there was an old saying for years that musicians want to be pastors and pastors all want to be musicians.
Right. Yeah.
And I think there's probably a takeoff on that. It says pastors want to be comedians, and you've somehow morphed all three of those into one.
I guess, yeah. I read a great quote the other day, and it said, if you have to tell the truth to somebody, make them laugh, otherwise they'll kill you. And so I think pastors kind of walk that line, and comedians definitely walk that line of you're trying to, maybe my act doesn't have some overall arching, like pointed message, but there's a truth in there, or there's a commonality I'm trying to find in a crowd. And because I can make them laugh, it just goes down easier. It's an interesting thing, and I love that about comedy. It's so interesting, though.
So where did you get those chops musically? Because that's obviously very much a part of you, and you're very comfortable doing it. What was your musical background?
Yeah, I started out in like bands, worship bands at church and stuff when I was in my 20s, and we did a lot of campus ministry at University of Tennessee, Knoxville, and then we started traveling all over the Southeast and even, you know, all over the U.S., and so we recorded a few records and CDs back when those were a thing. I don't even know, yeah. And but yeah, it was one of those things. We were always like indie, you know, never signed to a label, but we had a lot of cool experiences doing like camps and conventions and things like that, and so yeah, so when it came time to do comedy, it just felt like I should incorporate music into the show. It felt like a good fit, you know. And so yeah, it's been fun. I think in the beginning it was probably something to hide behind, you know, because I'd never really done the joke thing before. So I was like, I'll have this guitar that I can hide behind. But now it's probably 20-30% of the show is just music, and the rest of it's just regular stand-up. And I'm way more comfortable now. But yeah, I like being able to change gears, you know, sometimes. Even in churches today, I was talking to the guy who was driving us around today, and I was like, who also is in ministry, and I was like, I think pastors are learning. Their sermons are getting shorter. Our attention spans are getting shorter. But pastors are learning to make their messages more effective because they're having to fit it into like an ADHD mindset. But I don't think that's all bad because, I mean, when I was growing up, it was like pastors would just preach 2 hours and repeat themselves 100 times, and then they get mad at you if you yawn. Like, you don't even love God. It's like, no, you got to clean it up. Like, come on, give us something, you know? So I think it's a good thing. And I don't know, I think that there's something to the thing of, like, try to give your audience, I don't know, I love a good laugh. It's almost like an amen from a crowd. Mm-hmm. It's like we're all in agreement. Mm-hmm. All the walls are broken down. There's something beautiful about it. And so I think that's what comedy brings, you know?
Well, the explanation I heard from my pastor growing up was that the mind can only contain what the seat can endure. So there is that balance between how long you go and how well you keep them. But you kept the attention tonight in such a wonderful way. You mentioned in your time on the Better Man event stage the impact that COVID has indeed brought upon not only churches and businesses, but I can only imagine in the entertainment world, because you, again, you bring that blend. It's an unusual blend of ministry and comedy and entertainment and music. You bring all of that together, but I know COVID's bound to have impacted you.
Yeah, it's been tough. I think we got to like February. I got all the way through February, and then March, I was taking the first 2 weeks of March off, and then I was going to get back at it, and then there was no. There was no at it. Yeah, everything got moved or canceled or both, or moved twice and three times for some of these guys that I know, because I'm in Nashville, so it's like everybody I know is really in the industry pretty much, and so it's been a weird time, but I think for me, it's made me kind of address where my identity lies and like, okay, I know that I identify as a comedian, I identify as this, but like, we're not who our job is necessarily. You know, that's something as men, we got to kind of confront sometimes. And so I've had time to kind of look in the mirror a little bit and be like, all right, when this does start back up, like what changes need to be made? What do I need to do to make sure we don't burn out or whatever? But man, it's just good to be out telling jokes again. I will say that. I'm very grateful. I think I'm more grateful than I ever have been for this job because it was kind of taken away from us for a while, you know?
Now, I know there's a fellowship among pastors. There's a fellowship among a lot of musicians. For those of you that are in the comedy business, this side of entertainment in the church world, in the ministry, do you often get with other guys that do what you do?
Yeah, there's actually an organization called Christian Comedy Association. And I'm on the board of that, and so we have an annual conference and everything. A couple hundred of us, 300 of us gather, usually somewhere in the U.S., and we have a week of, like, workshops and showcases and those kind of things and just whatever spiritual enrichment kind of things, and it's pretty great, and that's how I've met pretty much all my friends for the last 10, 12 years of doing this have come from that and those relationships. And pretty much everything that's happened in my career has come from those relationships. I toured with a guy named Tim Hawkins for about seven years, and I met him there.
Oh, he's wonderful.
He's fantastic, and he's become a dear friend. And he's done great work over the years, and he's also been very good to me. So, but I mean, I've worked with guys like Michael Jr. and I mean, just a lot of great guys who I met there. And so God's been good as far as like you can kind of link arms. And there's a very cool. It's very competitive in club world. Like I do a lot of club comedy too, and it can be very competitive and almost like laughter is like a zero sum game to some people. Like you're getting my laughs and I'm getting your laughs. And like, and I think with Christianity and Christian comedy, there's like, it's a bigger pie and we're supportive and we pass down secrets and we say, hey, you can skip this step and this step if you do this. And we give people kind of a leg up in that way. You really can't skip some of the work. You just got to go do the work and you got to bomb and get better. But some of the work you can be like, hey, do this, this, and this, and this will be better. And it's so important to have those mentors, and I think that's what's been cool and what's different about Christian comedy.
You know, when I look back, and I think when anybody looks back at 2020, it will certainly be the year that we needed to laugh more. And it will be the year that now, as we are at this point, with all of the news of the day, a presidential change, a divided country, what are you seeing the impact of the political situation in America having with men across our country?
Lord, I don't know. I try to stay out of politics. It's funny with comedy, like I think people who do political comedy, I always say, man, it better be funny because you're going to cut the room in half right away pretty much, even in churches now, you know? And so I try to just like focus on what we have in common. But obviously we're divided. I mean, I think that's been true for the last 20, 30 years, though, if you look at like how close the elections have been. But then you got to kind of decide where your allegiance lies, especially when we're Christians. We know we serve a kingdom. We don't serve men. And it's easier sometimes. So I think for me personally, it's been kind of distressing to me to see the church kind of seek political power over the last few years. And I'm bothered by it. So I love the idea of like the church just being the church and doing the job of the church. And so we'll see what happens, but I mean, it doesn't stress me out either way. What I try to do is bring levity to a situation and bring like commonality. Like this is what we have in common. We can laugh at these dumb things. We all have this. And so, and hopefully that tension is alleviated through what I do.
Yeah. Who is your favorite musician in the whole wide world? Who would you think has influenced your style the most?
Gosh, I don't know who's influenced. Cause when I came up, I was listening a lot to Phil Keaggy. Was like one of my favorites, and I got to meet Phil. He's tremendous and he's awesome and such a sweetheart of a guy. And but I think my favorite artist right now is a guy named Johnny Lang. I don't know if you know Johnny is. Yeah, he's fantastic, and he's kind of a blues rock guy, and he's out of Minnesota, and he's fantastic and a believer. So he does like secular venues, but he's a believer, and so I just love seeing that. I went to one of his shows, and it's just like so cool to watch him do a song about baptism. And there's a bunch of people out there who might not even know the Lord, and they're listening to this thing. It's kind of like he's doing what I think Christian music thinks it's doing sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to see somebody. It's like when I do a comedy club, I may be the only clean comic on the lineup. And I go in there, and it's like, all right, let's be light. And, you know, I don't hold back what I do. I don't change anything. I just do what I do. And sometimes the crowd will just not notice. They won't notice that I didn't curse like the other acts. They'll just be like, I really like what you did. And that's, to me, that's the cool thing, you know. And so, yeah.
It seems so weird to me that so many comics, even on cruises, my wife and I have gone on several cruises before and go to a comedy and want to laugh and find ourselves not laughing a whole lot because of the blueness of all of the lines and the you know, what they think are jokes. They're not funny. But you were incredibly funny tonight, and you were able to do that. You've also got that, and this my final question would be to you, where did you learn is timing, that comedic timing, yeah, with your face and just the looking off stage and all of that, is that something you pick up, or have you always had that?
I guess it's gotten better. I mean, one thing you do a lot when you're starting out, if you're smart, you watch yourself a lot, you know, which is painful. You know, it's still painful because you watch and you kind of try to find the thing that needs to be fixed. Even if you had a great set, there's five or six things you could fix, you know, and you try to fix those things. But a lot of timing is just really instinct. I mean, I grew up watching. It's weird because I'm a young guy. Technically, I'm only 46, but it's like I grew up watching, like, on Nick at Night, I'd watch Jack Benny's show, and I'd watch Burns and Allen. Mm-hmm. So to me, like, if people ask me, where'd your timing come from? It's probably Jack Benny, honestly. And that's so weird because he's in the 1940s or whatever, right? So, but I love that old style and that kind of a snarkiness to it, but there's, like, a sophistication to it as well.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. To me, it's instinct, but and I say that because I don't want anybody else to try comedy. When the people say, would you have advice for young comics? I go, quit, because you're taking work from me. But
that's great.
But I will say, like, yeah, I think a lot of it is instinct, and I'm grateful that I get a chance to do it. I mean, it's weird because I've had a lot of jobs in my life, and so I was just – I talked to Tim Hawkins about this one time, and he was almost near tears talking to me about it because he was like, I'm just glad I found something that I can do. Because, I mean, I know what it's like to feel really lost, mm-hmm, and not know what – have a job that you don't like but don't know what's next. And so when I figured out that I could do this, I was so grateful. Like, oh, I found something I could try and be good at.
You are very good at it, Johnny, and I wish you the very best. And thank you for being here at the Better Man event this year.
You bet. It's an honor. Great to meet you.
Like I said, he is one truly funny individual. Comes very natural to him. I was also very impressed with his musical skills. Quite a guitar player, and he just blends all of that into his presentations where he adds music with the humor, and it is just great. Again, just a reminder, friends, if you missed the Better Man event this year, you can still take part. You can still become a host site for a number of weeks now. You can get all the details by going to the Better Man event website. That's bettermanevent.com. bettermanevent.com, and get the information there on how that you can become a host site yet for a couple of weeks here and take part in the Better Man event 2020. Well, the final interview that I have for the evening from the Better Man event was the main speaker, the guy that brought the keynote, and that was Pastor Sammy Rodriguez. I had never met Sammy before this evening. Oh, was I ever impressed, not only with his speaking ability, his heart for God, but he is such a nice guy too. This is Pastor Sammy Rodriguez. Pastor Sammy Rodriguez, God bless you, man, for being with us. You know, this was such a powerful message, just walking off the stage and just getting to sit here with you right now. I mean, what you shared was just the powerful truth. And I think there's something so amazing when you told the story of being the invited speaker to pray at the inauguration, yeah, of a president, and yet being by one of the handlers kind of warned not to mention the name of Jesus. You kind of went against that, and you stood by what the calling upon your life is all about.
Without a doubt.
And not to be ashamed of the gospel.
No, you can't sacrifice truth on the altar of political expediency. And it was my mission statement. So to pray without the name of Jesus would not have been a prayer. It would have been an inspirational anecdote. Mm. But I was there to pray, and I was there to lift him up.
Well, you did, and you mentioned the fact that there was an instantaneous response to that with people, even the president.
Previous president.
Yes.
And you could YouTube it, and it was pretty amazing to have them all clap, and the response, members of Congress and the audience, and then even after the fact, people were free to mention that name on television. It became a thing because there was an approval, an authorization. You know, it's okay to say the name of Jesus in a public setting. So it released the proverbial Krakens, and it was a wonderful thing indeed. So I'm honored to be part of the initial removing of the lid on the name of Jesus.
Well, you know, it's that kind of courage that I believe that we have not seen in our country and in men for many decades now. And I can remember going back as a young man myself, and I'm a lot older than you, and I'm seeing a change to where men are cowering. There's a fear. There was a book out a number of years ago that said when people are big and God is small, there's this tendency in our culture right now to make God pushed out to the perimeter and make what other people think about us bigger. And your message tonight was dead against that and saying, go for the one that really counts.
Go for the one that is everything. Colossians 3:11, Christ is all that matters. Go for that. Go for the reality of a living God, a relationship with God that will unleash your God-ordained purpose. But it requires men to stand up to know who they are in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You'll never know who you are unless you know who God is.
What is ahead for you, Sammy? What are you seeing in a time of pandemic and a year that's been probably like no other year? What are you seeing ahead for you?
I see a season of with great humility and just living out the gospel, pursuing righteousness, serving as a reconciliatory prescription, a repairer of the breach, a peacemaker, bringing the church together. We can't bring the nation together if the church is divided. So my number one assignment right now is to help repair the divide in the church so the church can be glorious in a broken world.
We just heard today the final counts were made, and we have a new president, and we have been a very divided country all this year, especially with leading up to this election. What message can you speak right now to men to encourage them to lead their families into a time of faith?
The only agenda that can save America and your family is not the agenda of the donkey or the elephant. It's the agenda of the lamb, who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. God is sovereign. Continue to lead your family into righteousness, into truth, into love. Lead your family, Psalm 89:14, John 14:6. Make Christ the center of your home. Pray for the new elected the new president-elect, if it's validated and certified. Pray for that new president-elect. Let's pray. I'm asking for God to fill him with the Holy Spirit, for him, for that president to surprise the world and defend life in the womb and out of the womb, to preserve religious liberty and to do biblical justice in Jesus' name.
Samuel Rodriguez, thank you for being with us today on The Shepherd.
Thank you for having me.
So there you have it, the recap from Saturday night's Better Man event. I want to just say again, thank you to all of the crew at the BME organization, Brian Buckley and all of the rest, Jamie Woolburn, Andy Searles. You've heard them both on the air here quite frequently. God bless you guys, and we look forward to the 2021 version. Don't forget, you can find out more information about it at bettermanevent.com. Tomorrow, we're going to have a recap, a different type of recap, that is on the election. I wanted to hear a few words from Al Mohler today to kind of finish and get us ready for tomorrow's recap program as to where we are with this election. This is Al Mohler from today's The Briefing.
The mainstream media are already referring to former Vice President Joe Biden as the president-elect of the United States. Similarly, they are referring to California Senator Kamala Harris as the Vice President-elect of the United States. Are they? Well, in a certain sense, yes, but in a certain sense, no. In the sense that they are referred to now as the president and vice president-elect, it is because on Saturday, the Associated Press called the election looking at the numbers in the Electoral College for the Biden-Harris ticket. Does that make it so? Not exactly, but it does come close, especially as you look at the history of presidential elections, at least since 1848. Since 1848, it has been the Associated Press that has called these elections, declared a victor. The very first they declared was President Zachary Taylor in that 1848 election. So we're looking at well over a century of experience by the Associated Press in doing this. So is this a poll? No, it's an actual matter of math. The Associated Press is using about 4,000 different people within their organization, located all across the United States, to report on statewide elections, congressional and Senate elections, and the presidential election. The Associated Press makes the call after they have determined that the leading candidate is unstoppable in the Electoral College. Sally Busby, who's the AP's executive editor, said in an interview with the New York Times, quote, "If there's no way for the trailing candidate to catch up, no legal way, no mathematical way, then the race is decided, essentially." She went on to say, "And if there is any uncertainty or if there are enough votes out to change the result, then we don't call the race," end quote. Now, evidence of AP's credibility in this is that they have done this since 1848. And true to form, in the 2000 election, when it was too close to call, they didn't call it.
So that was Al Mohler from today's The Briefing. You can always get more information at almohler.com. And on tomorrow's program, we're going to have Dave Zanotti from the Public Square. Also, Matt Staver will be here with us. So don't miss tomorrow's program. That's Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. I'll talk to you then.